It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Producer extraordinaire, does a great job with our show. We're so happy to have him as part of our team here at Racing Boys. Austin, how you doing today, buddy? How was your trip yesterday up to your engine builder? How'd that go?
Long day? That was a long day. So you count in the long drive home for the Nationals. You know, that's 3 hours up, 3 hours back. So that's 6 hours in the car.
And you only got a couple hours sleep.
Yep, and then last night's 3 hours up, 3 hours back, and from 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock, I was stuck in the truck and looking at cornfields. So that was a lot of fun.
So when you go up there, do you go up 29 and do you get off at Nebraska City and
yes.
cut across on 2?
Yes, and that's the way we go when we go up to I-80 as well. So
yeah,
I've seen that road a handful of times and probably could, you know, describe it, you know, every square mile to you, but. Yes, that was a very long, and it started raining too, so that made it even worse.
You know, it's funny. It cracks me up when people say that was a long day of driving when they drove 6 hours.
Yeah, for someone that doesn't drive, yes.
Yeah, I guess so, right? That's only fair to you that you're not used to doing that, right? You're not used to traveling 6 hours at a time. What's the farthest you've traveled away for a race, Austin?
Like recently or since I've been racing?
Since you've been racing. What's the farthest you pulled? Excluding go-karts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, karting, I went to South Carolina, North Carolina, and Mississippi a handful of times. But
yeah.
I think it'd probably be...
Probably 81?
Nah, I think you could... It'd probably be Deer Creek in Minnesota.
Oh.
That's the farthest I've been.
With your sprint car?
No, that was with the stock car years ago.
What was that race that you went
to? That was just one of the USMTS's Ironman races we went and followed
right.
for the stock car series that they had going. But for a sprint car race, I've only been, Kansas, Nebraska, Illinois, Iowa.
81's probably the farthest you pulled with your sprint car, isn't it?
Yeah, that or Tri-City out in Illinois.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if people know this about Austin or not. Just so you know, Austin was exceptional in a stock car. You were pretty damn good in that stock car. You won a lot. How many races did you win in that car?
Before we get to that,
my
grandpa reminded me I went to Devil's Bowl in Texas. So,
that's true.
I didn't make very many laps, but I forgot.
He just sent you a text?
Yeah, we put a comment in there, but... Yeah, I forgot about Devil's Bowl. Good
right.
thing that I forgot about it, but
yeah, no, because you tore up some stuff down there. Yes,
bad weekend, but no, that's the farthest I've been.
Right.
In
so
a
that's
sprint
about
car.
10 hours.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's step back. Thank you, Grandpa, for reminding the boy that he drove all the way to Mesquite, Texas, for a race. Let's just give a little bit of a background. When you run stock cars, you won a lot of races in that car, didn't you?
I won a handful. I think I won about 10 or so, but I only ran probably 20 races, 25 races.
People didn't care much for you when you run that stock car out there, did they?
No, because
you won.
That, but I was also 14 against, 40, 45-year-old, guys.
Were so you 14 when you drove that car?
14, 15, yeah, 14 and 15.
Wow.
I turned 16.
I didn't
and
realize
got
you
car.
Were that young when you drove that car.
Yes.
Yeah. And you and your dad built that car, right?
Yeah, it was dad. It's actually more dad and senior than it was me.
John O'Neill Sr.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, he was a hell of a fabricator, wasn't he? John O'Neill Sr.
I didn't get to see a lot of his work. And, when he was around, he didn't do a whole lot more supervised. Just told us what to do, but from the stories I hear, that he was pretty good with his hands.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He was, as I've said on this show many a times, I thought the world of your grandpa. He was so good to me over the years, and I bought a lot of stuff from him: a crew cabs, some cylinder heads, and whatnot. Sold your grandpa a car for his daughter that she totaled out probably about a month after I sold it to him. She totaled it. Anyway, long story short, Austin was a pretty good stock car driver, but you don't want to move back, and you don't want to drive sheet metal anymore. You're just a sprint car guy. Let me ask you this, Austin. As much as I hate to ask you this, would you ever consider going back driving stock cars again?
No, because of, you know,
it's too slow.
No, I just don't. I don't.
Not into
not,
it.
Not what I. What I'm into. Guys are into, you know, stock cars, or you're a sprint car guy, or you're a late model guy. It's just, I'm just a sprint car guy. But, you know, people have mentioned to me, you know, with their motor situation, I'll go back and run a modified.
No,
I'm good.
No.
I have no interest in being in anything like that. It was fun while I did it. You know, it was a good opportunity, but.
Right. And you had success.
I did, but, you know, I'm content with what I'm doing now. I enjoy it, and it's done well for me for, you know, the years I've been in it, and that's where I want to be. So that's just, you know, everybody's different.
We need to find you a motor. My goodness, I just can't stand you not racing right now. It's just driving me crazy. If there's anybody out there, Racing Boys might help a little bit. We need to rent a motor. So if there's anybody out there that would be interested in loaning or renting a motor to our boy Austin O'Neill, we need one. Is it driving you crazy not racing right now?
I mean, it sucks, but it's my nights are quieter now. That's only that's kind of driving me nuts. But
yeah, because you don't watch TV.
No.
Seriously, people out there, Austin O'Neill does not watch television. Why is that, Austin? Why do you not watch television? Are you not interested in anything that's going on in the world?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, I know what's going on, and I have my opinion on what's going on, but
yeah.
It doesn't make my day, you know.
Doesn't make you want to go out there and watch what's happening in the world.
No, I was driving back through, you know, middle of nowhere Missouri yesterday, and driving through these towns of population like 500, 1,000, and you know, one stop sign in town, and I'm like, you know, it'd be so nice just to get out and move out to the middle of nowhere.
Would you like to live in the middle of nowhere?
I guess, but I
why is that?
You're out of just. I guess not only reality, but what else is going on in the world? I just don't. It's not good right now, and those guys out there probably don't have a lot, or don't really have a big connection to the city, and you know, you're out doing your own thing and you're out living your own life.
Austin, and I don't mean this in a bad way when I say this, but you know, I could see you being a hermit at some point in your life.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know what a hermit is?
No.
A person that doesn't hang out with anybody.
Yeah, I believe that.
Could you see yourself being that kind of person eventually at some point in your lifetime?
100%.
Just move out to the country, not have anybody out there but some dogs.
Yeah, I could see that. That and probably race cars or something to work on, but...
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's so funny. You know, we like when Todd's in here, we can talk a little bit about what's on television and what's going on in music. But I don't listen to Austin's music.
You can't understand.
And you don't watch television, no. So we really can't talk much about it.
But we can talk about what's going on tonight.
Tonight is a big night, isn't it? What do you think about tonight? And this is going to be the debut of Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson's new series. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be a really good night. I don't, you know, I there's an entry list up on Flow Racing. Let me get that pulled up on you know, who's going to kind of be there and some guys to keep an eye on. But you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what tonight looks like, what the format looks like, you know, who's going to kind of be there and see what the tone is going to be set for, you know, next year. See what the series is going to be about, see if it has a future. And
where's that lineup at on the flow page?
It's under the Larson tab on the left, but you know, we had some extra money be put up tonight by the Durst family. So instead of it paying, you know, $22,022 to win, it's $22,522 to win and I believe $1,500 to start. So, you know, a really good payday for, you know, this midweek deal and hopefully that, you know, they get a good turnout. I know there's a couple of cup guys with Chase Briscoe, Alex Bowman, Ricky Stenhouse going to be there, along with Kyle Larson, Brent Marks, Justin Sanders, Justin Grant, Corey Elias, and Justin Peck, Hunter Schoenberg, Kevin Thomas. That's just a handful of guys that the Flow website has put out there.
That's going to be there.
Potentially going to be there.
Right. And this is all going to take place at Lincoln Park, right?
Yes, in Putnamville, Indiana.
Are you happy with the track selection for the first race? What do you think about that?
I think it's going to put on a pretty good show. You know, Putnamville is really known for, you know, it's USAC racing and building a big curb. And I think, you know, there's been a couple outlaw shows there in the past, and they always put on good shows. And I remember, I think Larson said it's one of his favorite tracks to go to in a wing car. So that's probably was an interview, you know, a while ago. But, yeah, I think that's going to be a good track. It's going to get slick with a big curb and going to be really interesting for some, you know, a tight quarter mile racetrack.
Right. And I got to say this. It's going to be on Flow every race. Do you think there's I got to believe there's never going to be a conflict with World of Outlaws. Do you think there's going to be conflicts with any other races, any other series along the way? Because Brad Sweet's not going to do anything to jeopardize anything with World of Outlaws. He's not going to do that. Nor is Kyle Larson, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not sure. You know, with it only being 12 races, you know, they can fit in, you know, races.
Midweek races.
You know, midweek races, right. You know, throughout the season and not really conflict with anything. So, you know, you look at the All-Stars right now, that's the only other series I could see them having an issue with competing with. But you look at them and, you know, they're about to take almost done with their month break because of the Nationals and you know, August and it's busy schedule. So, and they end pretty early if I remember looking at the schedule, right? Like at the, you know, beginning of October. So
that's the last race
with the All-Stars, I believe. And the Outlaws go into November. So, you know, I think, you know, maybe it might be close with conflicting with another series,
right.
But you know, 24 hours is, you know, what the gap is supposed to be or the, you know, open air, but I don't think they're going to push the issue with it.
Right. So just so you know, today's action on Flow is going to start at 5:15. That's awful early, isn't it?
That might be. Is that East Coast time?
No, Central Daylight Time. Today, 5:15, Central Daylight Time. That's when that thing's going to start.
Huh.
You know what I think that, you know what the reason I think they're doing it that way? I think they're trying to get people in there and get them out of there at a decent time, right? You're talking about people that got to go to work the next day, right? And if you want those people to show up and go to the races, they need to get out of there at a decent time. And I think that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like I said, it's Tuesday night. You know, people in that area have to work and, you know, you don't want to drag them out there until, you know, midnight, 11:30 midnight. So,
right, because they won't show up the next time if you do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised seeing this race over by 8:30, 9 o'clock. There's only, you know, the only support class is the bomber class, and it's an invite only, you know, entry. So, from what I've seen on my race pass this morning, there's only 20 cars entered. So that shouldn't take long to run through them, and you know, longest thing it's going to take with the sprint cars is qualifying and, you know, Dash, B main, A main, and you're out of there.
Let me ask you, do you think with the star power that's going to show up at these races, that's going to keep some other guys from not wanting to show up and run those races? Do you think that's going to keep some of the regional guys away, maybe, you know, because we drag in some of the regional guys from time to time, you know, with these 410 races. Do you think that's going to hurt them a little bit when you get all the star power in there and maybe not all the regional guys are going to want to show up? I mean, you only see 20 cars entered. I'm a little blown away by that, to be honest.
That's for the bomber class. That's the support class.
Oh,
that wasn't for the sprint cars.
Oh, how many do you have for the sprint cars?
They don't have the entry list up yet.
They don't.
No, that'll start, you know, 3-4 o'clock when pill draw opens for the sprint cars. Just the 20 cars for the bomber class is invite only to keep the show moving.
Right.
But back to your question on do we think, you know, some of the local guys won't show for the sprint car, you know,
yep.
race. Tim McCready said it best on the show a while ago. A lot of these guys think they can start the feature.
And make some start
and start
money.
It pays $1,500 to start.
Right.
You know,
that's
a lot of,
true.
Like I said, a lot of these guys think they can do that. So
that's true.
You know, and you want to race against, you know, the best. So, and you're going to have some of the best there. I don't see, you might see a handful of them say, yeah, Tuesday night, I'm not going to do it. I'll go race this Saturday or Friday night.
Right.
But the guys
don't
want
to tear my stuff up. I might be running for points or whatnot.
But,
right?
but the guys that race, they'll be there.
Yeah. Real racers.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it, though, aren't you? Aren't you looking forward to tonight's action? On Flo?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what this series is all about, what the tone's going to be like, and give us a preview of what we're going to see next year.
Yeah, how many races are they running this year? Do you know?
One, just tonight.
Just tonight. That's
just
it.
Do a little like you know kickoff race and get ready for next year.
So this is a sample size, is what we're getting right tonight. We're going to get a glimpse into what we're going to see in the future. With Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson in their new high limit open, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, don't you think the guys are a little burnt out right now? After a week of Knoxville? Let me ask you this. Is it a little too close to the Knoxville Nationals, this race?
Could you say the same thing about the Jackson Nationals?
Well, I guess you could, right?
They're all going to go run that. You know, this is how they make their living. And if you ask a driver, they'd race 7 nights a week if they could. So is it close? Yes, but, you know, you got guys like Brent Marks who's going back home to Pennsylvania. That's not
– right.
I believe he's not going to run at the Jackson Nationals. He's just going to go right back by the track on his way home, and it's nothing just to stop in and run one race.
Yeah. We're going to get into a topic a little bit later. Kirk, he came in here. Man, Kirk, his hair was on fire when he rolled in here this morning. He thinks that they ought to go to a split format in qualifying. What do you think about that?
At the Nationals, I think it would definitely help the guys who had a bad pill draw.
Late?
Yes, had a bad pill draw, went out late as the track, you know, slows down, but... I'm still going to say what I've said the past couple of days. Nobody would be complaining about the format if the track crew and Knoxville Raceway didn't give us the track that we had on Wednesday and Thursday night, with it being not ran in, slop on the bottom, you know, and just an awful track to race on, super one lane.
To be honest with you, that was so unlike the Duncans. To be honest with you,
it's like the
Duncans
weren't even there.
They're really good at what they do. So let's make sure that we understand that those guys are as good as they get when it comes to working the surface on that track. They just missed it this week a little bit, right?
They did, and that's happened sometimes. But you know, it still doesn't change of you know what happened on Wednesday and Thursday. So you know, we saw it on Saturday. The track was better, and we saw you know a better race. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if we go into, you know, the first two prelim nights and the track's, you know, super racy and guys are, you know, coming from the fourth row to the lock in, you know, you don't see anybody complaining about it.
Well, that's some pretty interesting stuff right there. I want to give a shout out to the people that are joining the show here that are hanging out with us. Paul, Mel, Chuck. Caleb's hanging out with us. Chris Yant's hanging out with us as well. Marvin's hanging out with us. Tom. So we got a lot of people hanging out. Pete's always there. We can always count on Pete. He's always there every day. So we're thankful that you guys are hanging out with us on the show. We got a pretty good show lined up for you. We're going to have the World of Outlaws Pit Reporter. I'm just going to say it. Chase Rodman, he's my favorite pit reporter. He just works at his craft so hard. I just love his passion. And did you see that picture on his Twitter account where he's standing in a boat out in the middle of the water? Did you see that?
I did not.
You need to look at his Twitter page. He's standing up in a little, it looks like a small little boat, and he's standing out in the middle of the water with his microphone up, pit reporting from out in the middle of a lake.
I did remember seeing that at Cedar Lake.
Is that Cedar Lake?
No, it was Beaver Dam.
Beaver Dam.
Beaver Dam's where it was.
That is the funniest picture. I've never seen anything like it. So, all right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Chase Rodman's going to join us. We're going to have him for a little bit. He's got a meeting at 1 o'clock, so we're going to have him for a short time. Can't wait to talk to him about last weekend's racing at Knoxville Raceway, the 410 Nationals. He did such a great job there. I think with Wade and Chase both working the pits, I thought it was an excellent broadcast. I'll say it all the time, that I think Dirt Vision, and maybe you'll agree with me or disagree with me on this one, Austin, but don't you think Dirt Vision does the best when it comes to broadcast?
I think they're one of the best.
Who do you think is the best?
I think Dirt Vision and Flow. Certain Flow races.
Well, I'm friends with the guys over at Flow, but the only thing I see over there at Flow sometimes, the production with Dirt Vision is at a higher level. Flow does a lot of one camera shoots, right? They do some wireless stuff, and they do in some of their bigger broadcast, they do a better job at. But I just think Dirt Vision does as good as anybody out there in my eyes. So that's just me. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. Chase Rodman joins us next. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway. 9 whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio, and joining us now on the show is a guy that I praise on this show quite a bit. Chase Rodman joins us now. He's the World of Outlaw Pit Reporter. Chase, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, Scott. Still trying to recover from last week. I spent all day yesterday just kind of, you know, taking a long nap and hanging out. You know, it's a long week over there in Knoxville, and then didn't go to bed before 5 a.m. any of the nights. So, trying to recover, and then we're back at it again Thursday for Jackson Nationals. So not much time for that recovery.
So let me ask you, did you go over to 3 and 4? Is that why you stayed up so late every night? 'Cause you're over there hanging out with everybody in 3 and 4?
Yep, 3 and 4 is the hot spot. You right. know, obviously, yep. you go across the street to the old dingus there till 2, and then after that, that's when, in my opinion, the real party starts over there in 3 and 4. So, yep, that was every single night. I told myself a couple of those nights, I was like, yeah, I'm going to call it early, you know, should probably get
right.
dressed. And then sure enough, you see the next guy, and you're like, well, actually, now I'm not going to bed. So
right. That's just how it works at Knoxville. I'm old. Yeah. I'm old, Chase, so I can't do what the young people do anymore. I can't stay up late like that every night. It's just not in my cards anymore. So I'm an older man, so that's the problem. Man, what did you think about the Knoxville Nationals last week? Kind of give us an assessment of what you think, your thoughts about last week's races.
I thought it was pretty good. You know, first night on Wednesday, I was a little bit worried about the racetrack.
Right.
But, you know, other than that, I feel like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was pretty good. I know a lot of people complaining about the format, especially on Wednesday. Complaining about the format, complaining about the racetrack. But, you know, I was telling a couple of people, you know, maybe the racetrack wasn't the best. I feel like the format could be an issue. But, you know, the thing is, man, I just feel like at this point in time, you invert 8 cars, I feel like the guys that start on the front row, the competition is just so good now. Everybody is just so good that even if you invert 8 cars and you put, you know, Carson Short and, you know, Scott Boguski or something on the front row of a heat race, they're going to hang on. They're not going to fall back. You know,
right.
I think that's the issue is even the guys that qualify in the 40s or the, you know, the high 30s or whatever, they are good enough to hang on for 10 laps at Knoxville. And I feel like those good guys, it just makes it hard to come from 8th. You know, it's not
right.
like the track was horrible. It's just everybody else is just better than they have been in the past. I just think the competition was just so hard all week long And that's what made it a lot of fun to watch. So those good guys have some struggles and have some challenges along the way. So, and then obviously I think the story of the week was easily, you know, the Shark cars, right. Prelim night winners, and then both of them in the top five on Saturday. Pretty impressive stuff from those two guys and that whole, both those teams.
Yeah. What do you think, Donnie Schatz winning the A main on Saturday night? What do you think? Does that, because there was a lot of people really cheering for Donnie, you know, and that was not typical back when he was just winning all those national events, right? But it seems like the fans are starting to come back around to Donnie Schatz a little bit. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, the cheers definitely outweighed the boos during driver intros, and then obviously in victory lane, I didn't hear any boos at all. But you know, when you win a lot, like he was doing there for a while, people start to get tired of seeing that. You know, we all know that,
right?
But you know, he hasn't been winning a lot recently. I mean, that was his first win at Knoxville, at least since I want to say 2018. It's been a long time since he won there, and then you know, hasn't been winning a whole lot the last 2 years or so, 3 years, I guess. So, you know, and then combine that with the struggles he's had with his family situation and, with the engine program and everything like that. I think a lot of people were pulling for him. Everybody I talked to throughout the week was thinking he was going to be winning. They thought he was going to win the Nationals. And then, you know, and he was talking like he was going to win it as well. He was backing up what everybody was saying. He was confident all week. He was, you know, making different comments about how he can still get it done. And he didn't come here to run second and all this stuff. So I was happy to see him win, especially with everything that's been going on in his personal life recently.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And I think the fans, you know, enjoyed that as well.
Were you a little surprised that David Gravel kept ripping the top?
Yeah, I kind of was. I feel like really that I think about it, I don't really remember anybody running the bottom besides Donnie in the top five. I don't know if Shewhart got up there on the bottom or not. I didn't really see him sneak up there till the end because I was watching the race for the lead. But, you know, I remember Sunshine was up there. McCarl was up there. You know, obviously Gravel was up there. Not many guys are running the bottom, and Donnie, even when he was losing ground at the first half of the race, he never really went to the top, and he fell all the way back to seventh, I think.
Right.
And then even after that halfway break, he thought, you know, I'm going to go back down there and try it again, and sure enough, it worked. So even after Gravel got passed, I feel like he really didn't move a whole lot. You know, he stayed up what he was doing. So yeah,
right. You know, the only person I saw that was making the bottom work was Brent Marks. He was making the bottom work, and he made some progress. He got up into the top five, but then he kind of faded there towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, he looked very good at the beginning. The first half of the race, I thought he looked like he was potentially a car that can contend for the win. And then after that halfway break, I don't know if they went the wrong way on the adjustments or what it was, but he just kind of wasn't really a factor at the end of the race. But man, it's so hard to run the bottom at that place. I mean, I kind of talked about it before the feature even rolled off that, you know, it's just so technical, and it's one of the few places that you can watch as a fan or watch online, and you can tell if a guy, you know, hits the bottom correctly or it doesn't hit it correctly. Like, you can just see that the speed that he loses or the ground that he loses, and then the lap times will also show you that he did not have a good lap. And
right,
you know, for the first couple times watching Donnie there, and he just wasn't, he'd miss it one lap and the next lap he'd hit it and catch gravel a lot. It's just, it would look like it was really hard to be consistent hitting the bottom on Saturday night, and that's how it should be. I think I like seeing guys challenged like that, like they're not able to hit it every single lap. I think the top was way easier to run in the bottom on Saturday night.
Right. You know, there's several of us that were talking yesterday on the show. We thought that Logan Shewhart might have been the fastest car on the track. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I think he might have been the best car all week. I mean, he didn't lose a race all week. He won the Captani, won his prelim night, and then obviously didn't put in the show through that. He won the B main on Saturday and then had to start, I mean, what was it? You know, 18th maybe or something like that.
He started 17th.
Yeah, 17th. I mean, it's just the problem with Logan is it seems like every year he's fast, but he doesn't get in the top 16 after the prelim night. He always has to come through the B,
mm-hmm.
and it hurts him. I remember, I can't remember what year it was, but I want to say he came from 21st to 2nd 1 year.
Mm.
He's always got a fast car at the Nationals, but he never starts up front. I feel like if he did, we could have been talking about a different guy in victory lane. But, you know, Shewhart, he has been fast recently, and he's another guy that can hit the bottom pretty good there. So,
right.
And he, I mean, you would have to think going into Saturday, he had to be the favorite. Like I said, he didn't win, he didn't lose any races, but when
right.
you start that far behind, it's hard to play catch up.
Do you feel that Kyle Larson would have been a player for the win if he wouldn't have got that right rear flat?
I mean, I feel like you can never count him out, right?
Right.
I mean, he's
yeah.
Even when you think he's not fast, he somehow proves that he is. You know, I mean, on his prelim night, he struggles in qualifying. I talked to him about that, you know, that day on his prelim night that, you know, he said that his half-mile program, as far as qualifying goes, has not been very good. I remember at Williams Grove, he was a non-factor. He was in the third heat, you know, he's in the third row of the heat race every night. And then in the features, I mean, I don't even think he was in the top 10 one of the nights.
Right.
So,
yeah.
His half-mile program, as far as qualifying goes, has not been good, and that hurts him big time at the Nationals. But then, you know, he does the unthinkable on his prelim night and comes from deep in the field after, you know, transferring out of the B, I think, and got up there sixth, I think, or fifth or something. So I think that he would have been a factor, yes. And I would have been interested to see what would happen after the halfway break if he was still up front, what Paul could have done to the car to see if he can get it any better.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like after the halfway break, there was multiple cars that seemed like they came to life after that. Obviously, Donnie was one of them. I think Carson Macedo was one of them. And then maybe Kyle could have been one of them if he was still up there and didn't have to change that tire.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you this question. What do you think about what Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson are doing with this new 410 series that they're going to run? They're going to be in Lincoln Park tonight. What do you think about all this? Do you think it's good for sprint car racing?
I think it is. I think it's good for sprint car racing, yeah. I mean, obviously, we see how much money the late model guys are making. I saw a graphic the other day that was just like, you know, it was unreal how many guys in late models right now have made over, you know, $200,000-$300,000 this year.
Yeah.
And if you look at if you look on sprintcarratings.com, I want to say there's maybe six sprint car guys that are at that number, you know, over that money count. So, I think it's good. I think it's going to ruffle some feathers. It already has, obviously. And I feel like it's going to get, the feathers will get even more ruffled when it comes to next year. And, you know, just from the rumblings I've been hearing, things are going to get very interesting next year as far as the Outlaws go and who's running, who's not. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing to get more money for those guys. And it's going to be an exciting series. You know, Kyle and Brad, they know what tracks put on good racing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know that you want to go to Lincoln Park. I don't know what the rest of the schedule looks like, obviously, but you want to go to
right.
Port Royal. You want to go to Hopstock. You want to go to tracks in Illinois, Bull Rings, right? They know what puts on good racing, and that's why I think it's going to be an exciting deal because they're experienced racers. They're not going to go to places that they know don't have good track prep or don't put on good racing. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's good. It's just going to be, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like back in the day, right, when NSL or whatever, NST or whatever
right.
came up and, you know, but then that didn't last very long. I think this one will probably last a little bit longer than that one, though.
I got a feel that Brad Sweet is not going to do anything to upset the apple cart over there with the World of Outlaws, though. Don't you got to? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Say that one more time.
I think Brad Sweet is not going to do anything to upset the apple cart over there with the World of Outlaws. Would you agree with that?
What does that mean, apple cart?
Well, it's just a figure of speech. You know, Brad Sweet's not going to upset the World of Outlaws is what I'm trying to say.
I got you. Sorry, I never heard that one before. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to – I mean, I don't think that was their intention to hurt the World of Outlaws. But the problem was, I mean, the way that Kyle and Brad went about the announcement, right, I mean, to do it at a WRG event, let alone – the King's Royal, to announce that series at a World of Outlaws event.
That was that was
all the yeah.
I was going to say that was
yeah,
a.
I just didn't really think that was a good move, right? I mean, it wasn't right. a good look. You know, to have it the announcement broadcasted on Flow at a Dirt Vision event. You know, I mean, I think that kind of, and it was kind of a surprise to all the big, you know, the big wigs over at WRG. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that there could have been more communication there potentially. And that's kind of my only thing. Like, I just feel like it wasn't the way it was announced. Just, it wasn't very, I don't know. I don't really know what the word is, but it didn't really sit well with a lot of the people that are working for the Outlaws.
Yeah. It probably rubbed them a little bit raw. I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I can see that as well. But I still don't think that Brad's going to do anything to upset the World of Outlaws. You know, he's too invested with the World of Outlaws, the World Racing Group. I just don't think that he's going to do anything to upset those guys. Now, I could see some conflict with the All-Stars down the road. But hopefully that's not going to be the case. All right, Chase. Kind of, what did you think about that opening lap with Parker Price Miller and J.J. Hickel getting together down there in turn one? That was a brutal wreck. And, man, our thoughts and prayers are right now with Parker Price Miller.
Yeah, that was tough to see, man. You know, those two guys drove their ass off to be in that main event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hardest race to make all year in sprint car racing, and for it to be over in one lap. Or not even a lap. I mean, turn one.
Right.
I watched JJ's onboard. Just kind of a, you know, I think he mentioned it, just a driver mistake that ran over the right rear of Darren and took them both out, you know. And that was a really hard wreck for both of them. And Parker, I've been kind of texting him a little bit here over the last few days or so. He's in good spirits. Obviously, he's out for, I want to say, 6 weeks or something until October. So, which is, you know, not a good deal when he's close up there in the All-Star points, but just glad to hear that he will be back. I mean, that's at least his intention. He's not out forever. You know, he got lucky as far as those bones that he broke weren't going to be, you know, not life threatening, but, you know, life altering, I guess would be
the right
word.
Right.
So, I'm just glad to hear that he's okay in that regard. He, like I said, he's in good spirits. We'll probably play some video games tonight, I'm sure, with him. Hopefully the recovery is quick. Obviously, it was a really tough week for him, and that wasn't the only thing that was an issue for him. So just really feeling for him right now, and hopefully my buddy is feeling better here soon.
Yeah, no doubt. Chase, let me just say I always enjoy your work, watching you on with the World of Outlaws. I think you're the best in sprint car racing. There's nobody that does it better than you, my friend. So I want to give you praise on that. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports whenever we call and ask you. We want to thank you for doing so. I know you got a meeting to get to, so we're going to let you go. But thanks again for coming on Mostly Motorsports. We so appreciate you, buddy.
All right, Scott. Yeah, thanks, man. Just anytime you guys need me or want to talk, just let me know and I'll hop on here. So appreciate the kind words, and I'm sure we'll talk to you guys sometime down the road.
All right. Thank you, Chase. All right, there you have it. Chase Rodman joining us on the show. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump into this subject that Kirk Elliott wants to talk about. We'll talk about it between Austin and I. Should they make a split format for the Knoxville Nationals? That is the question. That's all next. We'll open up the phone lines, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. More of Mostly Motorsports in a moment. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio. Austin, bring that back up for me, would you, so I can hear it in my headset. I've got my volume all the way up here. All right. So, anyway, here we are. We're back in the Racing Boys studio. We want to thank Chase Rodman for coming on. That was pretty interesting conversation about how the World Racing Group was a little raw after the announcement at King's Royal, wasn't it? What, didn't you find that a little bit interesting there, Austin?
Yes. You know, I didn't think about it when the announcement came out that, you know, why is Larson promoting another series that's going to compete against the Out, somewhat compete against the Outlaws? On a competitor's going to be broadcasted by a competitor at their events. Yes, that's I understand if the Outlaws
had chap your ass a little bit if you were the World Racing Group, wouldn't it?
I believe it would. I mean, it would do it to me too. But yeah, I just didn't, for some reason I didn't think about that when it was announced and put, you know, all that stuff together. But I didn't realize, you know, now at how much it affected you know, people at Dirt Vision and the World Racing Group.
All right, so here we go. Here's what Paul said. Paul said that shows how respectful Larson is. Kyle has lost all my respect. That's a pretty big statement right there, Paul. That's pretty big. Marie says, and Marie, we appreciate you. She says, was unprofessional, the announcement. Do you feel like it was unprofessional? Do you think that they were kind of putting a little bit of a rub on the World Racing Group at their event? It was a Dirt Vision broadcast at the King's Royal. Flo comes in, makes a big announcement. Was that bad, do you think, Austin, in the end? You wouldn't be too happy with it if you were the World Racing Group, would you? No?
No, I don't think. I get doing it at the King's Royal is...
Because there's a lot of media there, right?
A lot of media, a lot of teams, a lot of fans. Great way to get the word out.
Right.
Should it have been done there? No. You know, I think they could have waited.
They could have done it at the Cappy on Sunday.
That's still another Dirt Vision race.
Well, I guess that is a Dirt Vision race.
Yeah,
the Sunday race is still a Dirt Vision.
It's all Dirt Vision. You just do it back at the Flow broadcast studio when you get home.
Eldora's a Flow racetrack.
Eldora's a Flow racetrack?
It is. Tony Stewart, Flow, All-Stars.
Kirk is hollering in from over on the sidelines. That's true, though, isn't it? It is a Flow racetrack. So maybe they got the permission from Eldora to do that or make that announcement there. Maybe they didn't care about what the World Racing Group thought about it.
Yeah, Kirk brought up a good point.
Right.
Got to keep Kirk around for things like that.
Marie, I have a hard time believing that she said this. Not going to watch tonight. Well, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to watch that in a heartbeat. Right? Hey, so what were the fractures on Parker Price Miller's vertebrae? Which ones were they? Do you remember?
We talked about this yesterday, and I believe it was the C7 and the T5.
So, do we have a picture of Parker Price Miller? He posted up today, didn't he?
Yes, working on that.
All right, we'll let you get that pulled up there real quick. I really felt bad for JJ. Wheel hopped a guy. Parker Price Miller didn't have anywhere to go. And Parker Price Miller's had such a tough time dealing with his cancer, just everything that he, you know, now dealing with these vertebrae. He's just had a tough year, man. And we're thinking about you, Parker Price Miller. We hope that you heal up quickly. That's what I hope. C7 and T5 fractures is what Dave Tyson says. C7, T5. Caleb says that as well. And so why are they doing this? Money? All-Stars and Outlaws, they will race these events. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think this is going to put pressure on the World of Outlaws and the All-Stars to raise their purses? What do you think there, Austin? You think this is going to put a little added pressure on them?
I think, yeah, it could, because you could see it in this way. Like, you know, let's say the first driver to come to my mind, if that could, you know, possibly pull off the Outlaw Tour and go support this next year would be Sheldon. So you don't want to lose the drivers that support your series, and they all want more money. So if they're going to leave and go somewhere else and chase more money, you're going to lose, and you're not going to do anything. You're going to lose your backing. So I could see it could possibly put some pressure on the Outlaws to force them to either raise their base pay or add in some more events that pay better.
All right. Caleb says, I certainly see a high limit and All-Star Circuit of Championship co-event, before a World Racing Group co-event. I don't think they're going to do any co-events with any either one of those series. Do you? Do you think the All-Stars will run with the high limit deal? I don't see the World Racing Group doing it at all. Do you?
Probably not, but it's no different than looking at Power Eyes Wing 410 series race co-sanctioned with the All-Stars when they come to town. So I don't understand why they wouldn't, but you know, if they don't want to, they don't want to, right?
Right. Sam brings up a good point. You should not race in a race that you are promoting. I agree with that 100%. I've never liked it when a track owner races at their own racetrack, or their son races at their own racetrack, or a relative races at their own racetrack. I've never liked that. Never. So Pete says, hold on here. Let me see. Somebody said I was wrong about something. Let me see here. Cole said, Scott, you're sadly mistaken if you think Brad Sweet and other outlaw teams don't want to rock the World Racing Group boat. I've got friends on the road. There's no love lost towards World Racing Group many times during the season. You know what? You may be right, Cole. We just have our own opinions here. Everybody is entitled to their opinion here, right? That's what it's all about. This show is not about I'm right, you're wrong. This show is about your opinion, my opinion, Austin's opinion, Kirk's opinion. That's what this show's about. Not everybody's opinion is right. What'd Pete say here? Pete's got a long message here. Let's read it. He says, World Racing Group not allowing Platinum teams to compete in high-limit series seems hypocritical. They have profited from having Kyle Larson at their races. World Racing Group has failed to fully control their late models and modified series teams with similar competitor limitations. Oh, it just jumped up on me. It seems, well, I'm kind of like you. Kyle Larson listen, the World of Outlaws have made a lot of money off of Kyle Larson showing up to their events, and the All-Stars have too, right? When he shows up, more people buy tickets. All you had to do is listen to the crowd cheer for Kyle Larson on Saturday night. Did you hear that crowd when they cheered for Kyle Larson?
Especially when he walked into the track.
Oh, I didn't see that part. David says, I wonder what Tony Stewart thinks. That would be interesting to hear what he thinks about that. Rodney says, love racing during the week. I'm like Austin, no TV unless there's racing on. All right. So anyway, I'm going to be watching tonight. Marie, you've got to watch the race. Come on now. You got to watch the race tonight. You got to watch it. I know I'm going to be watching it right here in this studio. So anyway, what about the Kirk bringing up this a little bit earlier about doing a split format? What do you think about that, Austin? Let's dive in a little deeper in it. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but let's just talk about it a little bit more. What do you think about it? Think it should be done?
Should they do it? No, because it breaks tradition of the format in the Nationals and what it is. As a driver that usually draws a high pill, would you like it that, you know, have a split format or a split qualifying, split field qualifying? Yes. You know, I've said it countless times now. This wouldn't be a discussion and a problem if we wouldn't have had the issue with the track that didn't allow for any racing or any good
on Wednesday
racing
night,
and passing.
Right. Thursday night was still a little shaky.
It was rough. It was, yes, it didn't get good until, you know, Thursday into Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But like we said before, they miss it. It's what it is. Move on. But
you wouldn't change the format.
No, and like I was telling Kirk earlier, the deal about the Nationals with the format, it's unique to the event itself. And really, it's one of the toughest formats we go to. You invert eight, and you got to race your way up to the top four, and you got a lot of good cars. Every year, there's more good cars that show up. So the guys that, you know, qualify on the backside of the invert and start in the first couple rows, like Chase was saying, they're good cars, and they're not going to back up like we would see 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
Maybe even closer than that. But, you know, I think that's what also adds, you know, the element of the Nationals too. That's just, that's what it is. And it forces you to be on your game and 100% every time you hit the track. And you got to be going forward no matter what condition the track's, you know, thrown at you. And look at Donnie. If Donnie, you know, wouldn't have got that last transfer spot on the last couple laps, would Donnie be, you know, the 11th time champion right now? So,
right.
You know, I think teams would appreciate the split field qualifying more. You know, heats, you know, it would force you to add another heat race to the event. You know, kind of like what we saw on Friday night, you know, 1-3 line up the inside row, 4-6 line up the outside row, and go from there. You know, they do it on the Canopy, and they do it on, you know, the Hard Knocks night, but, you know, those events are kind of, you know, special to themselves or their own deal. So, yeah, that's just kind of what I think about it.
No, I'm not in favor of changing it as well. I'm the same way. Kirk's the only one of the three of us that thinks that it needs to be changed. But and I think that they put that format in place back in the 70s. I'm not sure on that. We're going to find out the date for sure when that happened. But I believe it was in the 70s. So it's been this way forever. And it's going to be that way for a lot longer, I believe. So anyway. All right, thanks everybody for tuning into the show today. We appreciate you so much. You have no idea how much we appreciate you guys tuning in each and every day. You know, we've got a loyal group of listeners that come in here and listen to us every day, and we appreciate it. We want to remind everybody also about the great track tribute that's going on up at Ascot Park, about Ascot Park at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. You need to get up there. It's only going to be going on through October 1st, so you're going to run out of time if you don't get up there right away. They've got all kinds of cars up there that raced at Ascot Park. Man, there's so many great, great sprint cars up there. It's just an honor to look at some of the cars that race there. They've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia. All of this is on display up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got Jimmy Oskey's old paint sprint car up there. They've just got all kinds of stuff. They've got a Dean Thompson car up there as well, Pernelli Jones car up there. So get up there and check it out. It's all going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And don't forget about the 410 sprint car that they'll be giving away on December 16th. This is a complete 410 sprint car, folks. It's a triple X chassis. And if you can't get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you need to do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. They're going to give you $25,000 on top of that as well. So this is a great time for you to get a sprint car. Kirk and I didn't win the Corvette. We were a little sad by that, but hopefully we can win this sprint car. I know I've bought some tickets. You should too. Go to sprintcarraffle.com and get you some raffle tickets for the 2022 Triple X Chassis 410 Sprint Car that they're going to be raffling off on December 16th, just before Christmas. Man, that's going to make a great Christmas present for somebody, isn't it? All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.